Welcome along to the start of the jump season. I'm wondering how long I'm going to get out of this joke. Welcome to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We are matless this weekend, so if you're looking for Matt Chapman, you'll have to watch him on ITV. Instead, I've got Ruby Walsh and Paddy Power. Now, I can play the role of Matt Chapman if you want, Paddy, and say, oh, Paddy Power, you're drinking champagne. But it's actually someone else is drinking champagne right now.
Yeah, I mean, of a Thursday. But as he said himself, though, it is the midterm break, you know. So why not?
Thursday. We're recording at 3:30 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon, and Ruby Walsh had the gall to just... And you nearly downed the glass of champagne. Are you in a particular rush?
Yeah, I was thirsty.
Oh, the life and times, I tell you what. So Ruby Walsh and Paddy Power are here with me to look ahead to a great weekend of racing. It is the Down Royal and Weatherby weekend at the WKD hurdle. We've got the big chase. We've got the Charlie Hall. But before all that, I've got an idea, folks. I want to get you, our loyal listener, onto this very podcast. And how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to unleash some absolute madness by offering you the opportunity to come on this very podcast. All you have to do is to email us at fromthehorsesmouth@paddypower.com. I'm going to send that email address to our glorious producer, Alan, who will put that up in the show notes. That's fromthehorsesmouth@paddypower.com. And just let me know if you're interested. The idea is the week after next, myself, Ruby, Paddy, hopefully Frank, will sit down and we'll have maybe a set of topics. We'll talk all things racing, but I want to give you the chance to talk live to Ruby, to Paddy, to Frank. You don't need to talk to me. I do enough of that. And look, see how it goes. Ruby, up for it?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea, and we'll see how we get on, see what the questions are like, and we'll see what happens.
Paddy, you're a man of the great unwashed. You've dealt with just about everyone. You're up for this, Paddy, aren't you? Don't forget to unmute yourself. No, he's forgotten to unmute himself. Unbelievable. Look at this absolute professional. Now, if this is...
It was just such a difficult question that I just wanted to buy some time. Yes, I think it'll be a good idea. Hopefully, it all depends on the caliber of the people that come on. Hopefully, come on with good, tough questions, and they're well able to talk and well able to handle themselves and have a conversation. I think we'll have a bit of a chat and a bit of crack.
And even if they're not, we'll help them along as well, because I think it'll be a bit of crack. So look, we'll see how we go. But if you do want to get involved, From the Horse's Mouth at Paddy Power, send me an email, drop me a tweet at Patrick Canelli as well, and I've already got a few people who are interested as well. So. Fingers crossed. Right, more on that anon. We're going to look ahead to a wonderful weekend of racing. If you're tuning in at the normal time and you're looking forward to Saturday, you've already seen the Down Royal races on Friday, just skip forward a few minutes and you'll happily get there. But we want to talk about the brilliant card on Friday at Down Royal, because Ruby Walsh, after your glass of champagne, you're going there, I believe.
I am going there tomorrow morning, PK, yeah. And it is a good card, good mare's novice hurdle. And obviously you got the WKD hurdle as well. And a very exciting beginner's chase. So, good start to the weekend and Down Royal. And I believe it's sold out on Saturday.
Oh, geez, fair play to them. Very well-run course, I'm told. Right, let's talk about those races. You rightly mentioned the mare's novice. You're not actually drinking a WKD, Ruby. You're drinking a champagne.
No.
Which is So you're off-brand already.
off-brand, off-piste.
The Mare's Novice Hurdle, the Grade 3, you rightly said, it's a decent race. 8 runners going to post, including a Willie Mullins runner. Tell us more.
Yeah, Purple Mountain. She was slightly fortuitous, maybe, in Tipperary on her last start. You could argue she was fortuitous on her last two starts. Gammon Original, unseeded rider at the last in Galway, which left her to win the race. And in this Tipperary on her last start, San Salvador fell at the last and left her to come home alone in that Grade 3. And because the Joe Mack in Tipperary is a Grade 3, Purple Mountain carries the penalties tomorrow afternoon. She has 11.5 to carry, whereas decent fillies like Gordon Elliott's Partry Central gets the full £7 offer. The rain probably won't have suited Purple Mountain either. It'll be interesting to see just how slow the ground does ride it Down Royal, but her better form is on good ground. She's probably been a little surprising, but Gordon Elliott does look to hold the aces in terms of opposition with both Party Central and Glan, and add a push. I'd probably be going for Party Central getting the full £7 off Purple Mountain.
Paddy?
Yeah, funny, going into the Down Royal meeting, it's something in the back of my head that Gordon Elliott, I don't know if, I'm sure everybody targets, I mean, the big races or whatever, but I think traditionally he starts very strong in Down Royal. And so I had started looking at Party Central, but then I changed my mind completely and I went, I found reasons why I thought Purple Mountain would be in the mix, but like Ruby said, probably struggle against maybe Party Central and or Glan. But the one I went for is actually Impervious, taking a chance on this for Colin Murphy. 2 from 2, obviously a brilliant trainer. Doesn't have the firepower of some of the bigger stables, but a brilliant trainer. And this one, she's kind of tipping along nicely, improving nicely. And hopefully if that improvement continues, she could get involved.
Okay. Unbeaten. 2 for 2, Impervious for a Paddy, whichever, Party Central for Ruby. Ridden the 220, the WKD hurdle. Decent entries, but we're boiling down to a match race here. Zanny here, of course, big talking horse for ahead of the Triumph hurdle. And Cask Mate, who's obviously had his problems. He's double the age of Zanny here, Ruby, is Cask Mate. But he had a nice little win on the flat. Fitness, could that be a big factor here?
Yeah, it could be. And obviously, you know, Cask Mate, even on official ratings, PK would have a little bit to find. He's, you know, £7 wrong, gets £5 from Zanahir. Zanahir's only a 4-year-old, so in theory, he's probably badly treated with Cask Mate when all is said and done. But I thought Zanahir was a very good horse last season. I was slightly concerned when the declarations came out for the Triumph Hurdle and he was declared with a tongue strap, having not worn one all during that year. He finished fourth on that occasion, came back to Punchestown and was second behind Jeff Kidder, which I don't think was the same level of form that he had shown at Christmas or at the Bar One Racing Festival in Fairy House last November, or that could have been early December. But I think it'll be interesting. I don't know, have they tinkered with Zanahir's wind? I would imagine they have in the off-season, to suggest they're putting a tongue tie on him by March. I wouldn't be surprised if they've done something to his wins over the summer. And I just think he's a better horse than Cask Mate. Cask Mate definitely has the fitness edge, but I think if they play the fitness card with Cask Mate, it'll suit Zanna here, who loves to come at a strong pace.
Mm. And you don't have to declare if you've had a win in Operation Ireland yet. I know you do in the UK.
No, right? I don't know.
Okay, no. So we don't know. We don't know. He does wear a tongue tie again, Zanna here, on Friday. That's Ruby's thoughts. And Paddy?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think Zanahir will, like, obviously looked a worldie early part of last season, and for whatever reason didn't finish the season as strong as you would have expected. And I think I'm kind of putting it down to the ground. The ground kind of improved. It was a very soft ground when Zanahir looked really good, and I think the ground's going to be pretty soft on Friday. So I think that will be a reason for Zanahir to recapture the early season form from last year.
You're not the one drinking the champagne. You should know what day it is. Don't worry. One more race I want to look at on Friday is the 3:30. We wouldn't normally look at too many beginners chases, but when I had a look at the card, you could stick a G3 beside this beginner's chase, Ruby. It almost is a graded race. Beacon Edge, Champagne Gold, a very good handicapper. Beacon Edge, genuine graded performer. Grand Paradis, an up-and-comer. And, of course, Vanillier, a brilliant performer for Gavin Cromwell last season. This should be a belter.
Yeah, it looks an absolute belter. It's a cracking race on paper. And I think when you go back through the horses, whichever one you ultimately think might be the best horse down the road, I'd be inclined to thinking it's going to be Vanillia or Beacon Edge. But when you look at Vanillia last year, he was well beaten by Cross Hill on his first start last season. Whereas Beacon Edge won first time up at Galway on the 25th of October, which is round about the same time of year as we're at now. And I just think first time out, Beacon Edge looks to me like a horse that is more ready than Vanillia. Vanillia obviously was brilliant in the Albert Bartlett under Mark Walsh. Keith Dunne, who takes the ride tomorrow afternoon, he should be a good enough jumper. His last run was slightly disappointing behind Gallop and the Champ at the Punchestown Festival, but he is a genuine grade one winning hurdler. He looks like a horse that would want a bit further maybe than tomorrow's trip, whereas I think Beacon Edge is versatile, and I wouldn't be surprised if Beacon Edge beats Vanillia tomorrow. By the time they get to go 3 miles at Christmas, it could be a different story, but we're on about tomorrow, and I think it'll be Beacon Edge.
Paddy?
Funny, for trip reasons, I kind of went against both Beacon Edge and Vanillia, because I just thought that both will want further and that they might be vulnerable tomorrow. And Grand Paradis is the one I kind of honed in on, because it's on a hat trick, and would love more rain, because I see it's yielding to soft according to the Race Plus website. That's obviously in the chase course, and mightn't be as soft. It's been lashing rain for the last day or so, so I'd imagine they're getting it up there as well. So the ground might deteriorate a bit, which would be good for Grand Paradis, but also I guess bring the stamina in for the other two as well. But I think the trip should be about right for Grand Paradis, while the others might want it further. So For that reason, I'm Grand Party.
Okay. I'd be shocked if we didn't see a grade one novice chase winner come out of that beginner's chase. We'll see how it goes. Looks an absolute cracker. Okay, that's Friday's racing at Down Royal Down. Those are the feature races. I'm going to move on to Saturday unless someone stops me and says, oh, PK, I've got one at Dundalk.
No, we don't have one at Weatherby either. So moving swiftly on, PK.
Let's move swiftly on. We Franberry for Dundalk if you go into your paddy bear shop. So don't worry about that, lads. We'll let you out that one. Let's go to Weatherby, as you rightly said, Ruby. The 120 is the first of the races live on ITV4 on Charlie Hall Day. It's a 2.5 mile handicap chase. There are 13 declared for it. I don't have prices. So what I can tell you is top weight is Tarnow Pino, bottom weight is Palexandra, and somewhere between the two, or possibly including, there will be a winner. Off you go, Ruby.
There will be, and I'd say the most likely favourite is probably David Pipes horse that I can't really pronounce. The second part is definitely Rogue. Jerry Cult Rogue. I'd imagine he's going to be the most likely favourite.
Can I just stop you there, Ruby? It's definitely not Rogue because it's a Q, not a G, so it's Rock.
Rock.
So yeah, you're having a complete shocker there.
Yeah, absolute it's nightmare. I don't know what
Jerry
he's called.
Jerry Cult Rock, yeah.
Jerry Cult Rock.
Two glasses of champagne in.
Yeah, I wish. Revel's Hill of Harry Fries. Johnny Bortex riding that has a chance. Tampernino. I thought maybe Sizing at Midnight for the Tizzards. Brendan Powell rides. I think he could be an each way price. He was third at Exeter, so he's had a run already this season. He's had a couple of runs actually behind Neville's Cross. And I thought, you know, he's a horse likely to could improve a little bit in an open contest. But I thought each way Sizing at Midnight, but not strong on the race.
Fair enough. Paddy?
Looks like the ground will be good. I find this a really tricky race. It has negatives about almost everything in the race. And the one I kind of came down with, the least worst suggestion, I think, was Corrin Cross for me at a decent price, with Harry Bannister up for Richard Bandy, the trainer. And just because the best couple of runs that Corrin Cross has are around this trip on decent ground, or some of the others want softer ground and things like that, and some of the trainers out of form and things. So Corrin Cross each way, but not a very strong
selection. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, having a pass. And it is safer gambling week next week. So if you don't fancy anything strongly, you don't want to have a bet, don't have a bet. You don't have to sit back and enjoy and watch the racing. Now, the Mayor's Hurdle is the 155, and this sees plenty of up-and-coming mares who've been going well last year as novices, some of them. Miranda for Paul Nichols is going to probably up against it in terms of she tops the weights, Ruby, because of her wins last year. Molly's Ollie's Wishes is very much improving. You've got Nikki Henderson with Mary's Rock. Nigel Davies sends Zambella over hurdles, having been over fences last season. What are your thoughts on the Mayor's Hurdle?
I thought Molly Ollie's Wishes. I thought her win in Warwick last year, where she beat a good French mare called Paul Saga. The third was a filly called John Cheetah, who wasn't a bad mare either. So I thought that was the strongest form in mare's company. She then went to Fontwell, where she ran in the National Spirit Hurdle behind Brewing Up a Storm and Mac Fabulous. She wasn't beating a hole at that far. She was in front of Call Me Lord on that occasion. And that was in against the Geldings. I think that's the strongest form. I think the Skelton horses are in good form. So Molly Ollie's Wishes was my choice.
Lovely. Paddy?
I've gone for a ground angle again, and I've gone for her indoors because I just thought that it was very impressive on good ground at Cheltenham. That was in April now, not at the festival. And some of the others want a bit softer ground. So her indoors at 5-1.
Molly's.
Thereabouts appeals.
Sorry. Molly's, Ollie's Wishes, and Erndors. You got prices, Paddy? Have you? I don't have any prices. But
yeah, there's prices up there on the Racing Post website. The Paddy Power prices are up. So.
Are they? Oh, sure.
But I shouldn't have said anything. I just say it'll be in or around me exactly.
My price raised up myself, I did. Okay, let's move on to the 2:30. It used to be known as the West Yorkshire Hurdle. It's the big grade two over 3 miles, and Paisley Park is going to top the weights. Obviously, it's grade two, so he's got his penalty, but he is definitely the one to beat off a rating of 163. Interesting that Charles Burns sends over Run for Oscar off the back of two handicap wins. They obviously like this one and think could develop into a graded performer. Master Tommy Tucker, a bit of a head case over fences, back over hurdles. And Thomas Darby, Raleigh Murphy, certainly has a rating to feature. I'm going to go with you, Paddy, first, seeing as you should have the prices.
Yeah, so Paisley Park will be approximately 2-1.
Really?
On Thursday. But so Paisley Park's there, like 9-year-old. Obviously, not as good as Paisley Park was a couple of years ago, I think it's probably fair to say. Pulled up in the last start, which is not great, and it's been certainly beatable. So I was looking to oppose Paisley Park. Now, a lot of the horses in staying division are often old, certainly in this race as well, but oldish, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. So the one I've actually gone for is taking a bit of a chance on the Charles Burns horse, Run for Oscar, stepping up and trip again. As you said, a couple of handicap wins, but the step up and trip just might bring about improvement. And I wonder, as you send this over, just to have a look and just see how far off he is kind of the, because, you know, Paisley Park is the standard setter in the division. So if Run for Oscar can, as a six-year-old improving, can go close or win or satisfy the Burns team after this trip over, kind of maybe sets their plan for the season.
Famous Solwick colours. Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, Run for Oscar was a good winner of a handicap hurdle in the stall when he beat Wolf Prince. He won that day off a mark of 133. He's an official rating now in the UK of 147. He's 144 in Ireland, so he's £3 higher in the UK than he will be at home in Ireland. Yeah, he's an improving handicapper. As the question is how far back has Paisley Park fallen? His last couple of runs last year were a little uninspiring, but he's still a decent enough horse. Thomas Darby's run at Ainshoe will give him a great chance. He's running the Coral Cup, isn't as good. And I think there's two horses coming back from chasing, Mr. Tommy Tucker and Slade House, that neither of them look naturals over fences. But I still think Slade House may have achieved a little more than Mr. Tommy Tucker did. I think Paul Nick has placed Mr. Tommy Tucker extremely well. And I think he's slightly overrated at a price. I'm going to go with Slate House each way. I think he could just be back over hurdles, the dead eight runners. He could be a bit of value.
Very interesting shade. We've seen it before many times with these staying hurdlers, including one you rode, I think. Couldn't do it over fences. Right, the 305 is the Charlie Hall. It's the Grade 2. We often see the Road to the Gold Cup start here. Now, Paul Nicholls has got Surname. He's a bit of a head-scratcher. A wind up on Surname last after his last run, pulled up his last two. Won the race last year. You've got Sham Blue. He's an up-and-comer. Of course, did he go for home too soon at Cheltenham under Harry Skelton? Are they the two to concentrate on, Ruby?
You'd have to think so. Clondalk Castle will be in the mix money-wise. Fusa Raffles will definitely appreciate the trip, even though he started much shorter early last season. I think he's a horse that's going to prove that he wants this distance. And it's Kitty's Light maybe for Christian Williams, but it's hard to see Mighty Thunder or Topfield Ben winning. Even though Topfield Ben has some good runs and some good track form. Yeah, Weatherby's a place he's won a couple of times, but this is definitely up in grade for him. And it's a bit like Paisley Park. Surname's in the same camp. It's how far has he fallen, or has he regained his old verve, I suppose. But I'd be willing to take him on, and I go with Sham Blue. I think Sham Blue was very good in the early part of last season. Did train off a little bit, obviously went pretty hard from an early stage in Cheltenham, but he had been beaten by Sporting John before that in the Scilly Isles as well, and was disappointing at Aintree when he got beaten a long way by Chantry House. So I'm just going with Sham Blue, being a little older, summer's grass under his belt. He's still only a seven-year-old. He could be improving, and I think 3 miles at a flat track like Weatherby will really suit him.
Okay, taking on Surname, Paddy.
Yeah, first time today, we agree. Hey. Surname, just like the two P's besides Surname's name, just is enough to kind of put you off a short price favorite. You won't be surprised if Surname does go and win. But Sham Blue, exactly like that. And the other thing to throw in the mix, Sham Blue, good to soft runs, have been much better than soft runs. And it's good, even better again, I think, on Saturday. So that might even be better again for Sham Blue. So yeah, I'll go with Sham Blue too.
Okay. A couple of votes for Sham Blue against Surname. Did listen to Harry Cobden earlier in the week, and he said he thinks it's between the years with Surname. And that is always a bit of a worry. Now, there's one more race in Weatherby at 3:40 there. Not exactly finishing with a flourish. It's a wide open 14-runner handicap hurdle. A few of these are up and coming, though, to be fair. Jonjo Neal, Kevin Brogan top the weights with Pajero in the JP Silks. And then all the way down to Pen Pal for Mickey Hammond, whose bottom weight off 103. That's about as good as a preview I'm going to do, Ruby.
I'm afraid, PK, I'm not going to make it much better for our listeners. I don't have a massive opinion on the race. So moving swiftly on for me.
We shall indeed, Paddy.
Yeah, actually quite fancy one here. Oh, Mackenberg is probably going to be favourite, or it's been open race, 92 favourite in the early prices. Mackenberg for Donald McCain. The yard is absolutely flying. It's run at about, I think, 33% or something like that. So they're flying at the minute, the McCain yard. And the last time we saw this fella, he was destroying a three-runner field by, I don't know, as many lengths as you want. That was at the end of last season. But interestingly, has won three times after a break. So coming here after a break is no bad thing. And also the fact that the stable's going so well, I just think that's enough to sway me towards Mackenberg.
Very interesting. Right, that is Weatherby covered. Next up will be Ascot.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's have a look ahead to Ascot. They've got a very good jumps card, their first of the season. Looking ahead to the races that are live on ITV, the first is Novice Handicap Chase, lads, and it's headed in the betting at the time of recording. I found the prices, buddy. 15-8 Kid Commando, who is drifting slightly for Anthony Honeyball. 7-2 for Nassalam for Gary and Jamie Moore. 4-1 for Solo. Now, for Paul Nichols, he's a bit of a head-scratcher, Solo. The mover over the week has been Sam Barton, 7-4-1. It's 8 bar. Paddy, go first.
Yeah, I was scribbling out reasons for Nassalam here, just below Top Class, and then I scribbled the whole thing out because when I was going back through and looking for, you know, horses for courses and, you know, even trainers with course form. And actually, I was just taken by the Jeremy Scott stat that he's an unbelievably good strike rate at Ascot, and then Sizable Sam is probably needs to improve a little bit for jumping a fence rather than from a hurdle. But I just think the fact that Jeremy Scott sent him here, I think, is interesting because it's obviously a track he loves, and he's a decent price at 8-1. And I wasn't strong on anything else, so I thought at a price, I'll go with Sizable Sam each way.
It's a big price, Ruby.
Oh, I'm Nassalam all the way. He impressed me in a couple of his hurdle races early in the season. Fontwell on both occasions. Went to Chepstow and he was even money favourite for the finale when he finished second to Adagio. He then went to Haydock where Mon Morale beat him. I think Mon Morale could be a hell of a novice chaser. This is a novice handicap chase. And I'm with Nassalam all the way.
Sounds very, very convincing argument there from Ruby. Right, let's move to the 210. It's a listed event. It's 14 runners at time recording. 3-1 Soaring Glory for John O'Neill and Tom Scudamore. The joint favourite, Boot Hill for Harry Fry and Sam Tristan Davies. Boot Hill, just 2 runs, 2 wins, but likely raced over a couple of seasons. Agero is 6-1, 10-1 Wild Max, top weight for Paul Nichols. And it's 12-1 for Progressive and Megan, 14 spar. Go for it, Ruby.
Yeah, look, I think it's a wide open race. I mean, Soaring Glory did win last year's Betfair Hurdle, and you'd be kind of thinking, whoa, can a horse really win 2 top-class handicaps? Does he have that much up his sleeve? He went from winning the Betfair Hurdle to Cheltenham, where he was no match or appreciated in the Supreme. So you're thinking, well, is he really still ahead of handicapper? I'm not so sure he is. Boot Hill is completely unexposed. And I was looking down along the ranks, looking for something maybe that could be coming back into a bit of form. And I've kind of landed on Leon Cavallo. I thought ran okay at Foss last behind Glory and Fortune and Don Levant on the 16th of October. He'd run at Sandown in June that I think was on the flat. It was Leon Cavallo for David Pipe. I just think he could be one. I think he'd be plenty fit. And I don't think he's on that bad a mark.
Okay. We saw last weekend a couple of horses, didn't we, with Cloth Cap and... Sky Pirate, wasn't it? 2 horses who were very progressive, 1 big handicaps, but just couldn't continue that on their first start of the season. So I guess, yeah, I could see where you come from with Soaring Glory. Paddy?
Funny, I was all over Soaring Glory. And to look at it a slightly different way, won the Betfair Hurdle very, very easily. Obviously, it wasn't good enough in the Supreme, but could also be an improving horse as well. And interestingly, has won every time. First time out. Every time it's come back from a break, it's won. So there you go. And every time might be only 3, but like every sounds much better than 3 times.
100% of the time. Yeah. 50% of the time. Very good. Well done. Stats man, Paddy Power. 2:45 is the Burn Group Handicap Chase, one of the feature races on the day. It's a nice pot. Now, prices for this. Editor Dujit for Gary and Jamie Moore is the 11-4 favourite. It's 5-1 for Amula Gold for Bridget Andrews and Dan Skelton. 6-1 run for Rosie, the top weight, who's on a nice winning run for Kim Bailey. 6-1 also for Sully Dock 8 for Anthony Honeyball, or just Sully Dock. And 7-1 Grey Diamond, 8-1 Getaway Trump, 9-1 bar. Paddy, go first.
Yeah, so this is a bit of deja vu. And you look back through the form here, I think in 2020, there was 2 years ago, that this was actually on Halloween, the 31st. It wasn't this race either, but the 2 horses here, the two of the protagonists I was concentrating on. Editor Dagit is a front runner and has won at easier tracks than Ascot. Ascot's probably a difficult track for a front runner because of the stiff finish, and set the race up for Sully Dock AA. Is Sully Dock AA?
I think we don't pronounce the AA. I've seen a few of these horses.
Sully Dock, anyway.
Am I barking up the wrong tree?
No, AA is Anglo-Arab. It's only a prefix to do with their breeding, so no, we don't need to pronounce that.
Lovely.
Okay, I'll know that from ever. I'm actually going to look down my nose at anyone who ever pronounces the AA anymore. So Sully Dock, anyway, was the race is set up for Sully Dock, who's a closer, and he went away and won pretty well. And funny enough, that's kind of how I see this playing out. I think Editor De Geet is going to be really brave from the front and lead all the way, but just might get caught out on the run for home up the Ascot Hills. So Sully Dock for me.
The Anglo Arab for Paddy Power. Ruby, who are you on?
I'm in the same boat. And I think Editor De Geet, when they met at Ascot back this time last year, Editor De Geet got £5 from Sully Dock and he beat him 4.5 lengths. He's only getting £7 from him on Saturday for that 4.5 lengths. And since then, Sully Dock has even gone and won at the Punchestown Festival. He was one of the rare English horses to come and win at Ireland. Now, he beat Ray a time, which wouldn't be spectacular, but then Tukas was third, and he was unlucky in the Grand Annual. So I'm going to side with Sully Dock, who has Ascot winning form under his belt before.
Speaking of Ascot winning form, in the 320, the big race of the track, the London Gold Cup, all eyes, for those who do like course and distance form, will be firmly planted on Regal Encore as he bids to win for about the gazillionth time at the track, the 13-year-old. He is currently third choice in the betting for this big race. He says 7-1. The favourite is Vindication. He's going to have to lump a bit of weight for Kim Bailey. They thought he would be a greater performer, but he's still in handicaps. John B, 6-1, 8-1 for Real Steel for Paul Nichols, as well as 8-1, one more Fleury, who's very much on a winning run for Ian Williams. Jerry's back 9-1, 10-1, and bigger the rest. All right, Ruby, the Bateau London Gold Cup.
Yeah, and I'm going to go for an ex-William Mullins horse here, Real Steel. He's back down to a rating of 150. He had a run at Chepstow on the 9th of October behind Shirko Vallis in a handicap chase. I think going right-handed is a huge help to Real Steel. A lot of his winning form, when Willie had him, was right-handed anyway. Thurles, he definitely won at Thurles on more than one occasion. Down Royal is right-handed. He won there as well. Thurles twice and Fairy House. So I think going right-handed is a huge help to Real Steel. He's back down to a mark of 150. And I think at around about 8-1, I think he's a good each-way price.
Interesting. All right. Ex-William Mullins horse. Right, Paddy?
Funny, when you're doing the intro there about the horses for courses and Ascot and all that kind of stuff, I thought you were going to say Vindication.
Because
he's never been beaten at Ascot.
Paddy Perrin's stats man today, I tell you.
That's the reason why I tipped up Vindication. Horses for courses, never beat that. Didn't look at Regal Encore. Regal Encore's 13, for God's sake.
I think he's won, if he hasn't won this race, he's won about every big handicap chase at Ascot, Regal Encore. But anyway, go on, I'm going to look it up. Go on.
Anyway, Vindication, like you said, obviously was always considered very good. And there was, I think it was couldn't go left. I can't remember what the reason was. It was too long ago since last season. It was something about can't go left-hand or whatever. But lovely, loves Ascot regardless. So I'm going to ignore the weight and just say Vindication because the horses for courses form.
Okay. Regal Encore, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 wins at Ascot. 2 seconds. One of those behind Vindication and a third. And he's got a couple of other runs. So he's all right. He's got an all right record there.
Yeah, Vindication's got 3 wins at Ascot and he's 5 years to catch up in Regal Encore. So don't worry about that.
Not knocking your selection, just saying he is a bit of a course specialist too. Anyway, right, bickering away the two of us. Let's move back to Down Royal for what is a brilliant Saturday of racing. Obviously, the feature is the Grade 1, the Champion Chase at 250, but there is this card's actually on RT television as well, I believe. So we'll get to see more brilliant live television from Down Royal. Right, Ruby, the 215, the Grade B handicap hurdle. I don't think there are prices available yet, but Paddy will correct me on this. So what are your thoughts on this race? Has Willie Mullins got one in it?
No, we don't. Mullins has, don't think he's any runner on Saturday, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But the one I liked was Esky Lane. I thought he ran really well on his first start at Listowel behind Dysart Diamond. I thought he showed a resemblance of the bumper form that he had shown when he was fifth in the Cheltenham bumper. I think just in front of him was third time lucky, Queensbrook, appreciated at Fernie Hollow. So he has rock solid bumper form. And I thought he showed signs and he was coming back to himself at Listowel. So Esky Lane for me.
Esky Lane for Gordon Elliott. Your thoughts, Paddy?
I honestly was tying myself in knots trying to get my head around this race. So I really struggled with it. I was very, very, very speculatively coming down in hearts and trumps, but I can't even remember why. So I'd say ignore me on this one.
Yes, with that level of research, we're definitely going to ignore you on that particular one, right? That's the quarter past to the Dr. Emma Clinic's handicap bird. The big race is the 250. It is the Champion Chase. Obviously, Manella Indo He's the big favorite. He's the Gold Cup winner. He's 10 to 11 at the time of recording. 130 for Galvin, who doesn't know how to be beaten. 7-2 Froden for Paul Nichols, who used to have a really good record at Down Royal at this particular meeting. Maybe not so much in the last few years. Delta Worker 7-1, and then Ravenhill is the 50-1 outsider. All right, Ruby, cracking race. Is Manila Indo, is he going to be fit enough on debut?
He won on debut last year, PK. He won at Wexford, the race that Eclair de Roux won last Monday. He beat Milan Nate by 25 lengths on that occasion. So he does have a pretty good record first time up. He was second in a beginner's chase on his first start over fences. That was behind one of Willie's Lorena. So, he does have a pretty good record early doors. Would I expect Manila Indo to beat Animix? I most certainly would. That's what Galvin beat in Punchestown. But Galvin will have that run under his belt. But I'm not quite sure, is Galvin a grade one horse? He just has the match fitness of a Frodon and Manila Indo. And I think he's third best. We watched Delta Work run in this race last year, and he was disappointed. He finished fifth behind the Storyteller. So I think he can be overlooked. Ravenhill isn't good enough. So it's down to three. And do you go with fitness? If you're a fitness person, yeah, Galvin's your choice. Frodon, he's very good going right-handed. We've watched him at Kempton winning a King George. We've also saw him win in Cheltenham a few times, so he can go both directions. But Frodon, he was a long way behind Manila Indo in the Gold Cup. He was fifth. Manila Indo won it, and he was all of 30, good best part of 30 lengths behind him. So Manila Indo, for me, has a bit up his sleeve. Rachel Blackmore's back on his, but he's back on board. I don't see how you go against him. Would I be for backing him at a shade of odds on? Probably not. But could I see myself backing it Nelson in the race? No.
Paddy Power.
Yeah, funny. Manel Indo as well, looking for a reason not to. And then you're kind of going, do you know what? Like, reigning impressive Gold Cup winner. Like, has obviously made a few jumping errors last year, but generally very, very good, very solid, big brute of a horse. And then you kind of add in little bits of kind of side plots or subplots, like it's the least surprising thing ever that Jack Kennedy's not allowed to ride. I mean, he's riding for it's like Ruby Walsh getting all, saying to Willie Mullins, I'm going to ride for, I don't know, one of the other trainers at Cheltenham because of one horse, because like the Elliott stable is so strong. Of course Jack Kennedy's going to be there, and it was clearly Giggenstown as well making the decision, and they're definitely not going to let their jockeys go off. But I think the fact that it was just assumed that Jack Kennedy would get off and ride suggests to me that Delta Work wouldn't be one that he'd be thinking would have a great chance here. Do you know what I mean? If Delta Work was a second favourite, it certainly wouldn't have been a given that Jack Kennedy could ride the Gold Cup winner. So it's the least surprising news I ever heard. It's great news for Rachel Blackmore, because I know the owners of Manila Indo would be very, very loyal. And it's great news for her, because I'm sure the fact that she chose to ride Aplutar over Manila Indo, that lost her the Gold Cup winning ride. And Ruby's been in the same situation with Cotto Star and Denman as well. And I'd say the relief when you get back on one of those, you're after really shooting yourself in the foot. And you can't blame the owners either. So I think for all those roundabout kind of reasons, I think Manila Indo is... I'm sorry, and also the fact that Manila Indo is obviously...
good horse
aiming for Cheltenham in March, right? So that's the plan. And the fact that they're pitched him in here, he won, as Ruby said, he won a beginner's chase. It wasn't beginner's chase. We won in Wexford anyway, first time up, much easier race than this last season. But now maybe this is you just got to do when you're the champ. You just got to go and take on grade ones all the time. So the fact they're not hiding with Manila Indo, even though Henry likes kind of tipping along nicely and getting the horses, build them up during the season, I think that's really significant that he's obviously match fit enough to go and put his reputation on the line.
I keep muting myself, lads, just in case the puppies in the background. I don't know if you can hear them, can you?
No.
Well, there's a Hoover in the background in my house. Don't hear that.
Jesus, we're great. Yeah, I could do the Ruby treatment and just kick the dog out into the garden. Yeah. That's what I probably should have.
I just put them outside. I didn't kick them anywhere. I asked them to go out and they went out. That's what happened, PK.
I haven't got there yet.
Are you surprised, Ruby, about the jockeys, the Jack Kennedy not been allowed to ride, Manel Indo and Davy Russell and Envoy Allen?
Well... am I surprised? Probably a little bit, maybe you could see Gordon Elliott saying, lads, you're my jockeys, I need you. But it read to me like it was sorted earlier in the week.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So it was sorted and then they changed their mind. So Giggenstown, to the best of my knowledge, don't retain a jockey, do they?
I don't know.
I don't know what the arrangement is, but
they don't retain a jockey. So yeah. And they're downsizing in National Hunt Racing. Now they did buy three horses last week, so they have spent some few quid. They're downsizing, but this is their hobby. and it's Jack Kennedy's life.
Yeah.
So for their hobby, they're insisting that a guy gets off the horse that won the Gold Cup, the biggest race, to ride their 7-1 shot, which is only a hobby for them. I can see both sides of it, Paddy. And what I about, feel sorry about, for Jack Kennedy. And, you know, for Rachel Blackmore, I knew how she felt Tuesday and Wednesday. She's not riding Envoy Allen or Manilindo. She's just back from injury. They're both training in Henry the Bromheads. Can you imagine how she was feeling till this morning when she realises she's getting back on both of them? And then Jack Kennedy has to realise that he's given away the ride on the Gold Cup winner to keep his bosses happy. I can understand the pressures and the emotions from both people. And people say to me, do you miss riding? I don't miss how either of them felt for the last 2 days or this morning, one little bit.
On the Envoy Allen one, though, is there a bit of like, you know, because that was with the Elliott stable until it moved to, during all the scandal, moved over to Henry stable. So would there be a little bit of bad blood from Elliott? I know David Russell would be caught in the middle kind of there, but...
He seems to be caught in the middle. I don't know. But I mean, you know, I can imagine in Davy's recovery and trying to recover, the chance to ride a horse like Envoy Allen will have spurred him on. It read to me during the week that Davy Russell thought he was riding Envoy Allen and today he's not. So I can imagine that was disappointing for him as well. And that's just... And it happens in racing, and it is racing.
Brutal, isn't it?
It is brutal. But I know exactly how all three of those people have felt at various stages this week. And fuck it, lads, I don't miss that one bit.
Yeah, but it probably happens more. It probably happens more to younger. It doesn't like the younger Jocelyn gets chopped off or whatever. When it's really high profile, yeah, now you're going, Jesus.
Yeah, it does happen. Of course it happens to everybody. But when you're getting up to the level that Rachel, Davy, Jack Kennedy are at, you're talking about huge rides. And you know, that might sound slightly arrogant, and maybe for a younger lad, a ride in a handicap hurdle means as much. But just the politics of it and the hassle. And can you imagine even Rachel having to bite her lip and say nothing Tuesday and Wednesday? You know, wait in the long grass, your turn might come again. And it comes quicker than you could ever imagine it would come. But even like for imagine having to ring Henry the Bombhead this morning and tell him, by the way, you can't have David Russell for Envoy Allen because Gordon Elliott wants him. And you can't have Jack Kennedy either for Manilindo because Gordon Elliott wants him to. Kevin Ryan had to make that phone call. So,
but it also probably in a way, I mean, obviously Henry would probably prefer to keep it's much easier to just keep the winning partnership together, right? But the fact that he's got Rachel Blackmore, the champion jockey, to step right into those shoes, and it's a stable jockey, in one way it nearly solves an issue for him. Do you know what I mean? Like it does, actually.
Well, it does. Of course it does. But like, you know, and often you are listening to your people like, oh, we want to keep the same jockey on the horse all the time and, you know, build up the continuity. But what happens when that one jockey gets hurt and you have to have somebody else anyway?
That's a fair point.
You know what I mean? So to me, people can often, especially in national dressing, look too far down the line. To me, you put the best jockey on today that you can have today. Because tomorrow is promised to nobody, and take each day as it comes. That was always my philosophy, if you could. And it is an awkward one, but I'm glad I'm sitting here talking about other people's feelings.
It's just an extra subplot. It's great. Like it's great. Cause just, you know, if something goes wrong or please God,
it's not
right.
It's not. And then Rachel's back on the boat of them. And you know yourselves, if one gets beat or the boat get beat or what happens, the pressure's on. Like it's just, yeah. It's wonderful to be talking about it and not having to think about it.
Ruby's going to be salivating on TV on Saturday. Are you up in Denver on Saturday as well, Ruby?
In there both days for racing
TV. Yeah, so you'll be there. You'll be there. And the subplots are brilliant. Great to watch. Obviously, Rachel Blackmore's got to do it on Envoy Allen, and it is a kind of a... Look, he's 2-7 at the time recording. 9-2 Cocoa Beach. Jack Kennedy will have his eye on Envoy Allen. Davy Russell on Vado Forte. He'll certainly have his eye on Envoy Allen. So she's really, it's a no-win situation for Rachel Blackmore. She win the race, but like, you know, the last time she rode the horse pulled up, we all know Davy's waiting in the wings. So it's a funny one. Do we think he's going to win? I mean, there's a big question mark on him at the moment, Ruby.
He's hard to oppose. I think he's 30, theoretically he's 13 pounds well in minus the two, so he's 11 with Cocoa Beach. But you know, at the trip, Cocoa Beach's best form is at 3 miles. So when you get back down to this distance, Envoy Allen should be much too quick for Cocoa Beach. And to be honest with you, I don't think Vado Forte is in the same league. He won well at Limerick when he beat January Jets, who looked like he was nailed to the ground. He fell at Kelso back earlier in the year. I don't know. I just Vado Forte, I'm afraid. I think he's got a lot to improve to get into the same bracket as Envoy Allen. And I know if I was Davy Russell, I'd much prefer to be going to the start on Envoy Allen than I would be on Vado Forte.
Whatever you say. I remember your post-race comments on this card last year when Envoy Allen won, and you made a big point about the difference between Sam Crow after the finishing line, winning the same race, I think, and Envoy Allen. Is that what you're going to be looking for, where he's just continuing to run after the finish line?
Look, good horses, when you open them up, it should take you a bit of time to pull them up. And when Sam Crow won a hell of a lot of good races, to me that day, it was too easy to pull them up. It should be hard to stop them. And yeah, I'd expect Envoy Allen, if he is going to fulfill the potential I think we all hoped he had, has to be beaten this opposition.
Paddy, is there any point in opposing the 2-7 shot?
I think you just cross your fingers. If you're a fan of race, you cross your fingers and hope Envoy Allen's back, because you just want to, you like, just the way even like the non like professional like myself, remember at Cheltenham when he won the Neptune River, remember talking at the end of that week, and they always got, if you could take one horse home from Cheltenham, who would it be and all that, you know, and there were some really impressive winners that Cheltenham. But like every single racing professional, Ruby would twinkle in his eye, going, "Jesus, Envoy Allen, Envoy Allen, Envoy Allen." And I was kind of going, "Yeah, that was really impressive." But what about this? And this is going, "Oh, Jesus, like, are you mad? Like, just Envoy Allen." Everyone in racing was captured by the potential of Envoy Allen to be like, I don't know, Pegasus or whatever the hell superlative you want to say. But it obviously all went pear shaped last season at the end, and you just really hope that Envoy Allen can come back and fulfill the potential that he showed.
Ah, yeah. Look, we're all looking to see it, and hopefully everything goes to plan. Now, gentlemen, that is the racing done. Yes, that's the racing done. I'm reading my running order, and as Ruby does on a weekly basis. So all I need now is your nap of the weekend. Let's go with Saturday, because I'd say there'd be few heads will have missed the Friday part. So give us something on Saturday, folks. And you both had winning naps last Saturday, did you?
Yeah.
I should have said that at the start. Jiving Jerry was smashed up in the betting. Someone tweeted me about that, Ruby. I think it was double figure odds when you tipped up and he won it like 7-2. Great show.
So that goes against my profit and loss, isn't it?
No, it's sort of
time of recording usually is what I hear people say, isn't it?
Interestingly, I was at Tato Park last Saturday.
That is interesting.
Three people who I met said hello to me and were listening to the podcast. One of them in particular, as I texted Ruby, said, "Jesus, it really sounded like Ruby fancied that Jive and Jerry." So there was one fella definitely who followed his advice and backed
it
anyway.
Yes. Well, we both said it, didn't we, Paddy? He's like, Ruby's tipping something up, not the Willie Mullins yard. That's more interesting. Yeah. And it won. It was great. Okay, Paddy, your nap of the weekend. Give us some, get back-to-back winning naps. Come on.
It begins with an S. I'm between two of them, but I'm going to go with Sully Dock in the 2:45 at Ascot on Saturday. Sully Dock for me.
Sully Dock, eh? Ruby, your thoughts?
I'm really tempted to nap Esky Lane. I think for the dough could be the issue down at the bottom. Gavin Cromwell's running the mount of Luke Dempsey with only 10.5 in his back, but he's been a really good farm in the flat, for the dough, but I'm going to go with Esky Lane, and hopefully he can go a couple better than he went in the stall.
Lovely. Two nice prices, lads. I think Esky Lane might be around about 5-1 on Sully Dock.
And within half an hour of each other as well.
Oh, is there an Ichi Wazy double as well? Listen, gentlemen, thank you very much. Guess what? I'm going on holidays again next week. So, Paddy, you're in control.
Are you going to the Breeders' Cup?
No, I'm not late in the country.
Oh, sugar, of course, for that.
Yeah. So I'm going to Florence instead. There's no bloody race in there, though, so I don't know why. So
Paddy, how do I get a job like PK's that involves a week's holidays every month?
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Well, according to the pod, I don't do anything of any use last week. I just fall off and Paddy takes over. So I'm trying to justify my existence by going on more holidays. I don't really see how that's making any sense. But anyway, Paddy's taking over again next week. You're going to look ahead to a wonderful weekend of racing, Paddy, including the Breeders' Cup. So brush up on your American racing, lads. We'll be back next Friday. Well, I won't. And then hopefully the week after, as we look ahead to the Paddy Power Chat meeting, we might have a nice little punter's platform to get stuck into. You can ask Ruby whatever you want, whatever
and
you
Paddy.
Want. Yeah, Paddy, yeah, yeah.
I'd say it could be about 6 months before I get asked a question. It'd be great. I'll have a cardboard cutout sitting here. It'd be grand.
Gentlemen, have a fabulous weekend. A couple of winning naps, hopefully, again. Back to our winning naps, and we'll be back. Sorry, Paddy and Ruby and someone else will be back next Friday. Take it easy.